With your arms and legs wrapped round my head, my memory tonight. When the bell rang out and the air around tingled from fright. But in shameless moments, you made more of me than just a mess. In a handful of eagerness, it's what does it suggest? I finally found someone to turn it upside down and nail my feet up where my head should be. If they had a king of fools, then I'd wear that crown. And you can all die laughing, because I'll wear it proud. I'll wear it proud. I'll wear it proud.
Prowl by Professor Fangirl. Read by Just Got One. In shameless moments, you made more of me than just a mess and a fistful of eagernesses. What do you suggest? Elvis Costello, I'll wear it proudly. His neck hurt. He'd been standing at this console for more than 14 hours now, too much of it staring down at the keyboard or the desktop monitor. His neck was so wearied from the weight of his head that it creaked when it turned. He shrugged, rolled his shoulders, tried to roll his neck, too, but it popped and cracked so alarmingly that he stopped. He sighed and rubbed his eyes beneath his glasses. MI6 should have an on-site masseuse, he thought. It would increase productivity. Maybe he'd requisition one. As section head, Q often took the late-night duties on himself. The control room was empty now, dark save for the glow of backup power supplies and the single light over his head. He'd been following two agents most of the day. The drift of their code names over a map of Belgrade made him feel strangely protective. He directed them to their rendezvous in his calm, elegant voice, heard them take out their mark, and called in their extraction team. Now it was all done, save the reporting and the shutting down. The door hissed open behind him. Q knew it was 007, not only by the stride and the smell of pricey aftershave, but because only Bond came to visit him unannounced at these late hours. He sighed in mock resignation without looking up. 007, how nice of you to stop by. Date ended badly, did it? Bond gave no reply, but a cool Cheshire Cat smile. Q pressed his lips against a smirk and shook his head. Arrogant bastard. Q wouldn't admit it. But he liked it when Bond came lounging about so late, bored and at loose ends. He carried a dangerous energy with him, even at the quietest times. The possibility of violence hovered about him like the smell of ozone. He was, for better or worse, the most interesting thing that could happen on any given day. Now he walked a circuit of the lab, casual, self-possessed beyond common grace. There was always a bit of a prowl about him. Q ducked his head, watched over his glasses. Must you do that? I've been following wandering agents all day. Bond came up and leaned against the table, just slightly too close. Q smelled whiskey on his breath. It smelled like very good whiskey. I hope you're not here for a new weapon, Q says. I find myself unwilling to give you one. I was rather fond of that, Walter. Bond finally spoke. So was I, though we didn't know each other long. He reached over and plucked a stripped motherboard from a tray at Q's elbow. Perhaps I'm just here for entertainment. I'm afraid I don't feel like entertaining. Put that down. Bond tossed the motherboard back in the tray. Q glared. 007, you truly are a remarkable specimen of presumption and ego, not to mention a little drunk. And you, Q, are a cheeky pup. Bond took him by the back of the neck and gave him a playful shake. Q stiffened and winced. Bond gentled his hand but didn't take it away. Sorry, didn't mean to hurt you. You didn't, Q said. It's just... He tried to shrug out of Bond's grip. Tense, Bond said. His hand moved over Q's neck, testing the muscles, feeling the strain. It became a massage, calming and warm. Q stopped in confusion and some small alarm. "What are you doing?" he asked. No response. "I said what?" "Quiet. I'm maintaining agency equipment." Q tried half-heartedly to shrug away again. "First, that is not one of your better lines, and second, this is extremely strange, and I don't need your kind of maintenance." He lost his train of thought. He hadn't been touched in ages, and something inside him reached for the pleasure of it. His eyes shut involuntarily, surprised by the relief spreading through the tense and twisted muscles of his neck. "This is not good," he thought. "This is truly not good. This is unsafe. Dodgy. Really needs to stop." But he didn't stop it. The strength of Bond's hand felt too sure, too persuasive, and too good. He tried not to think of what else that hand had done. He tried not to think of guns or knives or straight razors, of explosives or blood, or the soft throats of women. He tried for a moment not to think at all. "Here." Bond loosened Q's tie, then stepped around behind him and pulled his collar down. He had both hands on Q's shoulders now, his thumbs pressing up the muscles of his neck in a deep, steady rotation. The bliss of it drained Q's resistance and slowed his thinking. He was so very tired, and it felt so very good. Bond leaned closer, a brush of silk lapels and a warmth up Q's back. There were strong fingers in his hair now, moving over his scalp and pushing the ache away. The pleasure deepened the darkness behind his closed eyes. A blissful hypnosis seeped through the seams of his skull, the very bones of his face. A part of him knew he should move, but part of him was fascinated. Part of him felt a small, fluttering panic, but part of him couldn't quite believe it was happening. He was being touched by the most dangerous man he knew, and the hazard of it snared him like a bird. A breath ruffled his hair. He shook off the trance and straightened. "This is unnecessary, really," he said, his voice a bit strained. "It's time I got home. I simply need a hot shower and a stiff drink, and..." "Sometimes, when I come here, I just lean against that wall and watch you from behind." Bond's voice could be so quiet and yet so penetrating. It took Q a moment to understand what he'd said. "Really, 007, how crude." He meant it to be dry and derisive, but the heat of Bond's hand had softened his voice, and it came out as a murmur. "I don't mean looking at your arse." Q frowned at the vulgarity. "Though it's well worth looking at. No, I like to watch the back of your neck. The bare bit that shows just here, just between your hopeless hair and your tacky collar." His fingertips brushed it, and Q's breathing hitched. "This little bit of neck has enough class to make up for all the rest." And then there was breath slipping through his hair, and lips on the nape of his neck. They were silky, subtle, just brushing the skin and pulling softly at his hairline. Q's mind scrambled for purchase against the sliding sweetness of the kiss. "All right, that's enough," he said, his voice slipping and unsteady. "Hush." Bond moved closer and pressed his hips against Q's arse, and now there was no mistaking his intent. For a moment, Q could do little more than blink rapidly, perplexed. How the hell had he gotten here? He was effectively trapped between Bond and the table. If he tried to wrest himself free, he'd just rub against Bond's cock, which he was now distressingly inclined to do. Instinctively, he pulled his keyboard close and tapped a quick set of commands. "Turning off the surveillance," Bond murmured. "Good man." He kissed Q's neck and hummed approvingly. "Delicious," he said. "Smooth as silk, or a very good scotch." He kissed again, the lightest suction, tasting. "A nice, rich Isla." To the other side now, a whisper of tongue near the hairline. "No peat, just heather and malt." a quick trail of teeth to the shoulder. And buttery, the smallest bit of butter. And now, full wet tongue from the last cervical vertebra to the top of the spine, and Q shuddered in his grasp and gave his first choked whimper. "Well then," Bond said, and palmed the front of Q's trousers, finding him half hard and twitching. "That's more like it." As good as that hand felt on his cock, Q couldn't move for the things Bond was doing to his neck. He'd never been kissed like this, and the man hadn't even touched his mouth. The pleasure of it slid down his spine, curled about his hips, and pooled in his pelvis. Every brush of lips hardened him further until he ached. Bond's tongue found the hollow at the corner of his jaw and searched it till he shivered, touched the skin of his throat, and left it feeling hypersensitive and fragile. "Don't mark me," Q whispered. He felt a tiny scoff beneath his ear. He kissed, and he licked, and he bit and sucked gently in passing, but James Bond was much too classy for anything so crude as a hickey. Q started as fingers slipped into his pants. He hadn't even felt a zipper open. His knees shook and his cock jerked as Bond took hold of it. It stole all the air from his lungs. He had never been so hard in his life. The slightly calloused hand pressed and stroked with surprising tenderness, subtle and knowing. "Don't think of guns," Q told himself. "Don't think of knives or razors or women's throats." A quick panic gripped his chest. He grabbed Bond's arm. The hand on him stilled. "It's all right." Bond's voice was very steady. "Do you want me to stop?" Paralyzed, Q didn't respond. He was dizzied by Bond's weight against him, his thrumming heat, the cat's pelt smell of his maleness. Bond pressed close, murmuring into his hair. "Tell me if you want me to leave. I will. It's all right." Q drew a breath to speak, and didn't. "Then tell me what you want." Q was fairly certain he'd never speak again. "Say it. Tell me what you want me to do." Q pressed his lips together, just barely shook his head. The growl in his ear had the weight of ultimatum. "Tell me, or I stop. Tell me what you want me to do." Q squeezed his eyes shut and felt his face redden with embarrassment and surrender. "I want you to make me come," he whispered. He felt the grin against his neck. "Gladly." Now Bond's touch was commanding, deft and thorough. Q gave himself over to it. Bond slid an arm up, took a handful of dark unruly hair, and pulled Q's head to one side, flicking his tongue across the muscle drawn tight as a bowstring. Q felt the solid ridge against his arse push harder, shifting. Bond chewed lightly at his trapezius. He spoke in a rumbling purr against Q's throat. "Put your hands behind your back." A thread of ice ran down Q's stomach. He was almost relieved at how resistance sprang up in him solid and immovable. "No, I don't do that. No." A breathy chuckle tickled his ear. "It's nothing like that. Just give me your hands." Hesitant and wary, Q let go of the desk's edge. Bond took his hands as gently as birds from a cage, cupped them together, settled them at the small of Q's back. He moved close again, and a silky hardness filled Q's palms. "Oh." "That's right. Take hold. Tighter." The tip of Bond's cock was seeping and slick. It left a slippery trail across Q's palms. He closed his hands around it. His fingers brushed the scrotum. He stroked it, and Bond groaned ever so softly against his back. Then he began to move. This was the forcefulness Q had expected. Bond pushed against him, hard, rhythmic, banging his thighs against the table with every thrust. He had Q tight by the hair and the cock, and his pull and stroke were not just strong, but velvety and compelling. He bent Q's head forward and bit at the tenderest part of his nape. Q flinched and whimpered and pushed back harder. "Christ," Bond murmured into the mass of black hair. Christ, you have the sweetest hands. Q leaned his head back against Bond's shoulder, exposing his throat to lips and tongue and scraping teeth. It was all he could do to stay upright, his hands pinned by Bond's hips and full of his cock. He knew he was whimpering like a boy, but he couldn't seem to stop. Please, God, please.
Please what?
Bond's panting was just barely controlled. Please.
What?
Please, make me come now. Please, I can't take it. Fuck. Bond swore and groaned, and lion-like, he bit the back of Q's neck, hard enough to bruise. Q struggled against it a moment, then shook and came in a messy, gripping rush. He cried out gracelessly and would have fallen without Bond's arm around him. Bond bent him forward over the table and ground against him hard, spilling into his hands. He lay panting for a long moment, his head on Q's shoulder, then propped himself on an arm and brushed the tangled weight of Q's hair back from his face. His voice was heavy and soft.
Are you all right?
Q nodded, but his breath was still whining in his throat and his heart still pounded against the table.
You're all right.
Now it was softer, warmer, a reassurance. He stood Q up into the steadying grip of his arm, pulled the dark, tousled head to his chest for the briefest moment.
You're all right.
Q smiled and cleared his throat, pulled back and straightened his glasses. He tried for wry sarcasm. Can't say the same for this keyboard, unfortunately. It was an awkward quip, and his voice still shook. He swallowed, catching his breath. And I dare say you've made a mess of me.
Yes, well, you needed a new jumper anyway.
Bond reached into his jacket pocket, brought out a handkerchief, wiped Q's hands and belly. The touch of the silk on his cock made him shiver. Bond finished and nonchalantly put the handkerchief back in his pocket. He fastened Q's trousers, straightened his shirt collar, and redid his tie. He combed his fingers through the mess of Q's hair, shook his head, and smiled.
Bloody hopeless.
Then he took Q's face in his hands. How could anyone think those eyes were cold, Q wondered, and kissed him. It was not a perfunctory kiss, or a patronizing kiss, or even a goodnight kiss. It was a true kiss, thorough and thoughtful and lingering. There was something like promise in it.
Thank you, Quartermaster, he said. As always, you give me just what I need.
Q rolled his eyes and groaned. I do hope we get past the awful lines one day, 007.
James.
James. Bond smiled, a warm smile without irony, and turned to go. He paused and turned back.
Oh, and Q, he said, running a fingertip up Q's nape one last time, giving him one last thrill of goose flesh. You might want to wear a turtleneck tomorrow.